Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. It's lovely to come on a day like this, isn't it? Although I said, really, we should all be outside. Do you fancy it? Should we go outside and worship? Yeah. No, lock the doors. You're in here now for the duration. It's good to come and to worship. And last week we were thinking about Jesus's compassionate teaching. And today we're going to think about our God who is able. And I know there are days when I feel less than able, but it's good that we can rely on our Lord who is more than able. God looks from heaven upon the children of earth to see whether there are any wise enough to seek the fellowship of God. By faith, may Christ live within our hearts that we may be rooted and grounded in love and filled with all the fullness of God. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, the people of faith shall rejoice and the whole church be glad. We bow down before the Father of Christ Jesus, from whom every family on earth is named. To God be all the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's join together and continue as we sing number 640. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Let's continue in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those words, we come to worship and to praise God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father God, you are our good Father. Your love and goodness are responsible for every good and beautiful thing in our lives and that which surrounds us. We thank you for lacing our lives with blessings. Lord, we thank you for this glorious morning. Somehow, Lord, it always seems better to come out when the sun is shining and the weather is warm. Although, Lord, we're British and we will be moaning later that it is too hot. We thank you, Lord, that you just take care of our every needs, not just us as individuals, but your entire nature. And Lord, as we look around us at this time, Lord, and see the beauty of the different greens in the trees and the different flowers and everything, Lord, that is just bursting into life and full of abundance. It reminds us, Lord, that you promise each one of us life in all its fullness, life in abundance. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to this place in freedom to worship. We don't have to worry, Lord, about people seeing us coming in, Lord, or talking about Jesus in our everyday lives, like some of our sisters and brothers in Christ. But Lord, no, we don't always do that. Sometimes, Lord, we just want to carry on in our way. Lord, I pray that you would point out to us when we're rushing through our days, perhaps even on to the next prayer request, without stopping to give you the praise and the thanks that you deserve. Lord, slow us down to seek more of you. We want more than we can ask or imagine to come into fruition in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn how to walk with you daily through Christ Jesus and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit so that, Lord, Father, we can experience life to the full as Jesus died to give us. Sometimes, Lord, we're so eager to know what comes next that we try to plan and perhaps predict what's going to happen. And yet, as we were thinking last week, Lord, we give you our plans and you laugh. Lord, help us to pause and to spend time with you, to listen to you, to see things as you see them, to see people and situations as you see them. You call us, Lord, each one of us, to share the good news that we once heard with those around us, with our family, with our friends, our neighbours, those that we come into contact with daily. Lord, you don't just call us, but you equip us. You give us talents. Lord, help us to trust our lives into your caring hands and to be more expecting that you would do great and good things through each one of us. Father, we pray that you, the living water, would run through our souls, that you would always direct our paths. We pray for boldness and courage to follow you, even when you ask us to do hard things, trusting your plans for us are immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Lord, help us as we live our daily lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we continue as we sing number 89, Come Down, O Love Divine. As I was saying at the start, we're thinking today about our God who is able, our God who is sufficient, as our Bible tells us. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples were equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and to share the good news with anyone and everyone that they came into contact with, reassured that they didn't do it in their own strength, but by the power of God through his Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to look at a reading in Ephesians, and we'll tell you the page in a minute. Ephesians chapter 3 wraps up Paul's doctrinal teaching and introduces practical application. As I often say, it's all well and good knowing the word of God, but we've also got to do it. So we can have lots of head knowledge and know all the stories, but if we're doing nothing, then we're not doing what God asks us to do. I love Paul's honesty in the way that he writes, because he's definitely got the head knowledge. He, you know, he's brought up a good Jewish boy. He knows all the law and everything else. But he refers both to his own imprisonment and to his spiritual calling. And this calling includes proclaiming the fact that all people, both Jew and Gentile, can now be part of the same spiritual family. How we long for that in this day and age. Paul also prays for the spiritual strength of the Ephesian church as he prepares to explain how knowledge about Christ should translate into living for Christ. And so I'll ask Michelle if she'll come and give us our reading, please.
So the reading today is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, and it's on page 1174 in the Bibles. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful prayer? As a church, if you were to receive a prayer like that, wouldn't that be lovely to hear that? And that's exactly what Paul does to strengthen the church at Ephesus. In the NIV that we've just heard, it's called A Prayer for the Ephesians. In the English Standard Version, it's A Prayer for Spiritual Strength. And that's why these things continue and we can still touch into them in this day and age. Paul's earnest desire was for them to be united in their knowledge and experience of Christ's love and to share that love generously with one another. As Paul brought his prayer to a close, he bursts into praise, declaring that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. No matter how bold our requests may seem, God can do all that we ask and so much more. And that's the promise and the truth that we read throughout God's word. I almost challenge you to ask God to do something. See what happens. You will look scared stiff. It's like, whoa, no. But just imagine if we were praying those kind of prayers, that God could do more than we could ask or imagine, how much different the church, not just here, but everywhere, could be. We see in 2 Corinthians that he uses similar words. God is able to make all a grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God's means for accomplishing more than we can imagine comes through his strength and his strength alone. His work is done by the Holy Spirit's power within us rather than by our own human strength. And I, for one, am mighty relieved about that. So before we look a bit more into those words, let's sing number 396, Just As I Am, Without One Plea.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the words of that hymn. And as we hear your word to each one of us, Lord, we repeat the words of verse 5. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Amen. So I did say to you a few weeks ago that we've got quite a lot of sport going on over these last few months and a few months to come. Aren't we happy? I am. I think we had 1 week intermission because I don't include golf and cricket as sport. Sorry that I may have offended people. You can tell I really don't care. So I had 1 week's grace before proper sport started again and the Olympics started. And, you know, you listen to them, don't you? You listen to the athletes, all the interviews, well, some of us do. And they talk, don't they, about the motivation. They talk about endurance, you know, all the training, the strength that they're going to need to compete in each and every event, whichever ones they've chosen. Some have changed events, haven't they? Because, you know, as they've got more mature, the body doesn't stand up to the tests of some of these more physical sports. I do struggle with some of them being described as sports. I think is it break dancing or something that's made an entry into Olympics? I'm struggling with that. But then I was listening to an article in the week that said that writing poetry was one of the first Olympic events way back whenever. So, you know, I do call that endurance. I don't know about anyone else. I'm not a great poet, but I was interested to understand the, you know, some of the things that they would have done in the early days. And I don't know about endurance, but or stamina. I actually managed to fall asleep on Friday night and missed pretty much most of the opening ceremony that I had intended to. I think it was it. I think it was all those boats. It was like, I think I heard maybe one beginning with B, and then the next thing I woke up and Celine Dion was belting it out, and I was like, oh, whoops. So, yeah, so perhaps my Olympic days of sporting achievement are over if I can't even sit through the opening ceremony. But, you know, over the interviews, we've heard stories of struggle, of depression, of dependence on alcohol and drugs. And Adam Peaty said, you know, after all that he's achieved, you know, a few years ago, that he never wanted to see a pool again. Can you imagine, you know, when you've dedicated your whole life to something and then you just said, you know what, I don't want to see that ever again. And yet tonight he goes again in the final of the swimming. It'll be interesting to see, because obviously, you know, in his head, he probably wants to do that last final gold before he retires. But I'm sure whatever he achieves will be a bonus. It's very easy, isn't it, to lose heart when we perhaps start something new, or we're encouraged to do something that perhaps we feel is beyond our own ability. The believers in and around Ephesus were in danger of losing heart too. Do you ever lose heart? Yeah. Frequently, yeah. As you get more mature, extra mature, yeah. The body parts, do you know what I said the other day to myself, actually, as I made that noise getting off the sofa, you know the one? Oh. Yeah. I said, that's it. My body has given up. But we also struggle, don't we, on our Christian journey, because when we talk about being Christians, the word journey goes alongside it, doesn't it? You know, we're in it for the duration. Sometimes we lack motivation, you know, because we're just, you know, tired with trying perhaps too hard. But we are told that our spiritual journey is a marathon and not a sprint. I was a little bit disappointed about that. I was built for speed, not endurance. But when an athlete is you know, in an endurance challenge of some kind, you know, we watch them, they press on and on. You know, I'm in awe of marathon runners. I really am. You know, it was never my thing at school. I would bunk off, hide behind a tree, and then catch up when they came back round to head back to school. And you know, you see it, don't you? You see the impact of the effects on their bodies. You know, their legs either go all jelly and they can't run any further, or they talk about the burn, don't they? The burn. You know, we feel the burn. Their breathing is laboured, and they experience, you can see it in their faces, real physical pain. But the motivation to get to the finish line means that they keep going nonetheless. And it's lovely, isn't it? And you watch some of those matches and you see people help people across the finishing line. I sometimes think that's what the Christian life is like. You know, when we're struggling and each of us has struggles, it's good to be part of a church family that we can pick each other up and drag each other to the finishing line. You know, because we want to say, don't we, you know, when we look at it, we're awestruck. You know, it's wow, what a great heart they must have to want to stay with it. And so when we lose heart, when we lose stamina, and when we lose confidence, it's good to know that we can say to one another, to pray with one another. When we have those questions, what's the point? What's the use? I'm useless. I can't do anything. I can't make it. And that we're tempted to give up. That's what Paul sensed was about to happen in Ephesus. They were about to give in, to lose heart. And so he says to them, you know, I'm concerned. Don't lose heart. The situation isn't the way that you think it is. And as we've seen, he teaches them some wonderful truths to show them why they ought not to lose heart. And then he closes with the great prayer that we've just heard read to us. I've never noticed before, and I've read this passage quite often, how many times Paul says, for this reason. I'm quite tuned into the buts and the ifs and the therefores. I've spoken to you about ifs before, haven't I? But for this reason, in this letter, he says it multiple times. What does he mean, for this reason? And he's actually referring to what he's just explained on the previous two chapters, of which the highlight is that now we are saved by grace through faith alone. We've talked about now as well, haven't we? I think sometimes in our faith we think everything's going to come when we stand before God and we get to heaven. But the fact is, Jesus' promise is we can live as kingdom people now. Paul was in the habit of asking God to bestow spiritual blessings of extraordinary value on the believers under his care. If we read some of his other letters, he says, again, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Let's find that in Corinthians. Or we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. I would like to hear so many of those words come back to us as we try to do our faith journey together. In verse 20 of the reading we heard earlier, Paul used a unique term to express God's abundant ability, superabundant ability, to work beyond our prayers, thoughts, and even dreams. Depending on which version of the Bible is our preference, English translations of the term include immeasurably more, which we see in the NIV, exceedingly abundantly above all. Good job I didn't get you to read that. Infinitely more, above and beyond, and far more abundantly beyond all. I think we get the point that this is like quite big. And as we read those words, we see three key attributes of God's character emerge in Paul's claim that God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or imagine. Because in that promise, in that prayer, in that truth, we see his sovereignty. The fact that God is sovereign means that he has the wisdom and the power and the authority to do whatever he chooses. There's no limit to what God can do in answer to our prayers, because his capability goes far above and beyond anything that we can ask, dream, or even comprehend. I think it's us, isn't it, sometimes, who puts God in a box, as I often say. We think, well, this is as far as I can think, so that's as much as God can do. What if we opened up the box and let God do all that he says he can do? The second characteristic that we see is God's omnipotence. He possesses all power over all things at all times. We may look at our world and our lives and think sometimes they're totally out of control, but we believe in the one who has power over all things at all times. He manifests his mighty power in so many ways. We see it in his creation, as I was praying earlier, and in miracles, not just the miracles that we read about in the Bible, but the miracles that we see and hear about, that each one of us, as I keep telling you, has a story to tell about what Jesus has done in your lives. In Ephesus, God expressed his omnipotence by bringing together Jews and Gentiles into one family, a united home for his spirit to dwell through faith in Christ Jesus. And then we see that God's glory is the third attribute expressed in Paul's praise. Every sovereign and powerful act that God does in response to prayer radiates his majesty. When the Lord does more than we can ask or imagine, he receives the glory. When God has done something in our lives, do we praise, do we give thanks? I often stand here, don't I, and say, God surprises me. And I'm thinking, why does God surprise me when he says he's going to do more than I could ask or imagine? But then we praise him and we give our thanks and express our gratitude to him. Our narrow imaginations and feeble prayers cannot limit the richness of God's gifts as we recognize all that God has done for us and in us. In his church, we can only stand in awe of his goodness and his glory. If you've ever been, as the phrase goes, blown away by an answer to prayer, then you too have sampled the meaning of Ephesians 3:20. Paul was teaching his readers what he himself already knew, that it's impossible to petition God for too much because his capacity to give far exceeds the believer's ability to ask or imagine. Our thoughts often suppress our words, but God's power to act surpasses it all. The apostle reiterated what the psalmist had already proclaimed. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. No matter how extravagant we make our requests, God in his matchless power can give us more than we can ask and far beyond what our finite minds can imagine. God is not coincidental. I've talked to you about that before. With God, there's no coincidences, only God-cidences. We are all created in his image and designed with a specific, unique purpose. Our Heavenly Father loves each one of us so much that, as we know, he sent his only Son, Jesus, to die for us, so that we may have life to the full. This is our calling to live. Paul wrote to the Ephesians to remind them of these powerful truths about who God is and who they were as his children. And so also then who we are as his children today. We can pray those big prayers to our all-powerful God, because he has big plans for us. And there's no age limit. Just in case you think you've got your get out of jail free card, you haven't. God is able. Someone wrote, "His love for us is a love that doesn't hold back. His love givens everything to the point of sacrificing his very own son. This is unquantifiable, immeasurable love." God, who he is and what he does, will do and has done, and is immeasurable. We can know a lot about God. He's not afraid of our questions and our frustrations and promises. But as his word says, when we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him. All that we ask of God isn't all he intends to do through us. The more time that we spend with God in his word, the Bible, and in prayer and in worship, the more we begin to see things through his perspective. But no matter how much we grow in our faith, we still can't see the next day or always fully understand why certain things happen to us and the ones that we love in life. God can do anything, far more than we can ever ask, imagine, or speculate or request in our wildest dreams. It says in the message, he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit, deeply and gently within us. God's purposes are greater than ours. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He is God, and we're not. So there are infinite ways he does things that we don't know how to ask for. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Time after time in our lives, he's there to amaze us and surprise with those beautiful sunrises and blessings beyond anything that we can imagine. Life does come with hardships, and we can't just explain away our pain. Even when we know God works for good, sometimes it's too hard. But in reflecting on what we've come through, we can see his hand on our lives. God's mercies and blessings line our lives in the places we least expect to know, to ask for them. God is all-knowing. He's everywhere, and he's unchanging. The earth and everything in it began with him, and all things lie under his sovereign control. In the beginning of Paul's prayer to end the passage before, he writes, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name." We are limited in our knowledge of God, even in close relationship with him, as we grow and are sacrificed in our faith. There is no way for us to know what lies ahead, but God can. He goes beyond before us and prepares the way. Paul wrote, "To him be glory." The Westminster Shorter Catechism explains that glorifying God is the ultimate goal of our existence. Faith is trusting in God's plan over our agenda, because we can recognize he is infinite and we are finite. Verse 20 brings to light that there are things we cannot even imagine, which God already knows will come into fruition. We can trust in the unknown details of our lives because God is good. He is love. We are created in his image to bring glory and honor to our Father. Verse 20 and 21 in the message says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations, forever and ever. Oh, yes. Because that's what amen means, doesn't it? Oh, yes. Everything and all of the things that we can't imagine, we can bring and pray those big prayers to God because he is God. Now, he may not answer every prayer to the tune and timing of our desires. We've had that conversation before, haven't we? Yes, no, and wait. Yeah? But he does hear every single one and does answer according to his will. God promises to provide for us in our time of need. Someone wrote, "You can be rest assured as a child of God that if he leads you to it in life, that God will provide the strength and hope that you need." When the difficult reality of following Jesus sets in, we can hold tight to the truth that Paul so emphatically wrote to the Ephesians as it's meant for us today. Our hope is not in the things of this world or the way that it measures success and comfort or blessing. Our hope is in the things unseen, sometimes too big or far off for us to fully comprehend, like our great God. But we can come to him with every question, every doubt, every worry, every anxiety, because he cares for us. His plans for us are more than we can ask or imagine, immeasurably more, infinitely more, abundantly beyond, super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. His love knows no boundaries. Amen. Let's pray. We're going to use this prayer as the way that Paul intended it, which was to pray not only for the followers at the church in Ephesus, but also for their family and their friends, followers of Christ around the world. So we're going to pray these things and think about those specific people in our minds, or that God's placing into our minds, that we would pray in the same way that Paul prayed with those Ephesian Christians in mind, because that's where they were. O God, we pray that Christ in all of his fullness would dwell in our brothers and sisters who we have in our minds through faith. Whether it be a family member, a neighbour, a friend, someone in the church, our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Christ, in all of your fullness, dwelling them, we pray, so that they, being rooted and grounded in love, may know you more. Lord, we pray that you would help them to be rooted and grounded in love, in your love, that they would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. Oh God, we pray for the people that we've got in our minds right now. God, shower your love on them today. Shower them with an awareness of your love. Captivate them by your love. Compel them by your love, we pray. May they be grounded in it. Just like we picture the roots of a tree grounded, unshakable. May that be the picture of our sisters and brothers in your love. May they be so grounded in it, so that they may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and may they be filled with all of your fullness. O God, please fill our brothers and sisters with all your fullness. And Lord, we use those last verses as our prayer. To you who are able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think or imagine, according to your power at work within us, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Perhaps later, if you want to use those verses as your own prayer, because it's often we can take scripture and use it to pray with. And so we will bring God the glory as we sing number 708. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can sing your praises. Thank you that we have a reason to sing. Lord, as we leave this place, I pray abundant blessings on each one of us, that, Lord, we will continue to sing your praises in our everyday lives so that you would have the honor and the glory. Amen. Just want to sit down briefly. I have a little notice. Well, I say a little. So as you know, during the summer, we usually have a bit of a summer rest. Thank you. And I love it when he does that at 10 o'clock at night. But we're going to have some meetings at Hanover on Friday afternoons, as we would normally do for Bible study. So I haven't given it a name yet, but it's kind of a more practical way to come to know God's presence and blessing. So it's kind of like a mini Bible study with an activity attached. So if you are invited to join us at Hanover at 2:30 on Friday afternoons throughout the summer. No, Sally, there's no craft. You're all right. Aerobics. Shh. Yeah, it's Olympics. But don't be frightened. Come along, and as we share together. Also, we do need some magazines with coloured pictures in. So if you've got magazines that you normally chuck in your recycling, we kind of need them within the next couple of weeks. So please, could you give them to Tricia? Everyone knows Tricia, lady in blue at the back. And that might give you a clue as to one of the activities. No, she's going. Yeah. No, good. Now you're going to have to come and see and find out. But I'll ping it out on email later. Bless you. Have a good week.